From the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
I think Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Oh, you ready?
Okay, yes.
Them hands
here we go.
Hey, Mocha.
Yeah.
You ready?
Uh-huh.
Let's do the news.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
News break.
So Bad Bunny the other day posted a naked shower pic of himself. And he was all sort of like silhouetted in the shower. Mm-hmm. You couldn't really see anything. And then Us Weekly posted the pic and they said, have you tried photoshopping Bad Bunny's nude yet?
What?
So they said, join the internet in properly altering Bad Bunny's recent posts. Picture is in the link. So they wanted to see if people could up the brightness on the Bad Bunny picture. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But with AI and all the other tech now that's available, it's so difficult to tell, like, if it is that simple as upping the brightness on Bad Bunny's picture, or if they took the silhouette and put into AI what AI needs to do. But the pictures that are now online, mm-hmm, are like full frontal Bad Bunny.
Damn.
Which is now making all the news. But I don't know if this is just as simple as upping the brightness or if this is AI.
Because I've been watching a lot of those, the Photoshop and Lightroom videos on generative fill.
Yes.
Right? And it's like pretty easy.
It's very easy.
Upload a picture,
but
type
in. But he has tattoos and stuff like that that you would have to put in there. But even now, that doesn't seem that difficult. No. Right?
You can do something in like 10 minutes, right?
Yeah. Like, have you seen it, Shem?
Bad Bunny's altered picture?
Yeah.
No, I have not.
Go on Twitter and just type Bad Bunny.
Okay. Let's go ahead and see.
Just go on Twitter, type Bad Bunny, see what pops up.
Bad Bunny.
Look at Maria. Maria doing the same thing, holding that phone real close to her face.
In case you're wondering, I have.
I know you have, Maria.
Are you a fan of Bad Bunny, Maria?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Because Sharon Stone got in on this too, because you remember she said it, trying that'll break your VCR. Because do you remember that scene in Basic Instinct where she did the leg crossing thing, mm-hmm, and then everybody tried to up the brightness on their television,
right?
Right, because it was in shadow.
Let's see.
So Sharon Stone was like, doesn't work, right? So she jumped in on the conversation.
Guess what? Didn't have generative fill back then,
right? We did not have generative fill back then, Shem.
Yo,
you're awfully quiet over there.
Yeah.
AI? AI, you think? Or like just up the brightness? Like, because that seems pretty reckless to me, or intentional. Like, that's my thing is, I don't know whether he posted that picture knowing that you could just up the brightness and get full frontal bunny.
I don't think he did that.
You don't think so?
Uh-huh.
I think he's up the brightness on this.
Maury, as an expert in this field of naked shower selfies of men, mm-hmm, are you thinking intentional? Are you thinking AI? Are you thinking it's just as simple as...
Bad Bunny posts these pictures of himself all the time.
But I mean, but this was not what he posted, though.
No, not at all. But
so
I think
he knew
what would happen.
But what I'm saying is it a legit picture is what I'm saying.
Yes, like 1,000%.
I know the one of him in the shadow is a legit picture.
The brightness one.
You think it's just as easy as upping the brightness?
It is, because TMZ also did it.
They did.
Yeah.
Maria?
I'm going to go intentional too.
So you think that is legit? It's not AI. It's not anything else, that he just posted that picture and then it's just as simple as upping the brightness. Shem's expanding his phone right now. I just saw your finger slide across your screen.
He's trying to zoom in.
Man. Come on,
zooming
bro.
In. I'm just zooming in.
You look like
he's
Bad
really
Bunny
trying to see. I think it's
Okay, you don't have to participate.
You're
okay.
Right,
you're kind of blushing.
I know. That room
looks good.
Is it hot in here?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I don't know when it's going to happen, but when they announce a trial date for Donald Trump in Georgia, the Fulton County judge, Scott McPhee, said yesterday that all court proceedings related to Donald Trump's election interference case will be streamed live for the public to see.
Wow.
The broadcasting of Trump's proceedings would give the public unprecedented access to what will be probably the most high-profile trial in American history. The letter was released within hours of Trump's arraignment in D.C.
They're not going to allow like the public into the actual court, you think?
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be so much press in there, but public can always line up and try and get in, although they won't, but they have overflow rooms and everything else. But you'll be able to watch it on television, and it'll be streamed on YouTube. And
Georgia going to be busy. And there was
a debate in New York for Trump's trial as to whether to publicize it or not, like publicly, like put it on YouTube. And originally they had said no, but one of Trump's lawyers said earlier that he would love to have cameras in the courtroom because he goes, quote, "I personally would love to see that. I'm convinced that the Biden administration does not want the American public to see Trump on trial." And that is a big part of this, is that people think, oh, we're finally going to get to see, but like court is boring. This stuff is boring.
You've been to high profile cases before. What's this
well,
like?
Well, look at the Johnny Depp trial. Everybody going into that thought Johnny Depp was a monster.
Yeah.
And then you watch that trial and everybody's opinion changed.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that that's what they're worried about with these trials, is that it's only going to help Trump.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Amber Turd.
Amber.
Oh, you can watch it on Netflix.
Wow. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. They did a whole Netflix thing on it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Nelly Furtado, Justin Timberlake and Timberland. Right.
Got together for their new song. Talks keep going up.
I do a bar.
Oh, hold on.
No, Nelly, come in and do the.
Play you the little bit of the song first.
I keep going up.
How you been, young lady? Does the Filipino drive you crazy? How you been, young lady? Does the Filipino drive you crazy?
I've been working on my games lately.
Yeah.
I've been loving myself on a daily. Had to cut some people up and was draining.
What's that look for, Sham?
Okay, so Maury's dancing, Maria's dancing. Shem has a look like he just smelled a bad smell.
I was gonna say, do we have like a fart sound? Because you could fart on the bar.
Wow.
I think it's. Listen. Maybe I'm just comparing it to their last collab.
Yeah.
But this does not do it for me at all.
Does it sound too dated?
It sounds messy. It's
really,
like production-wise, it just sounds like a bit of a mess.
What about our guy? I know you and I are both big fans of Justin Timberlake.
Sure.
We're gonna play the full song, by the way, in about 12 minutes or so.
Sounds nostalgic to me, Mike.
Yeah.
Reminds me of elementary school.
Oh, shut up, man.
Okay, would it help, Jesus, Shem, if you heard Timbaland talking about the song? Keep going up.
I do a bar. Nelly come in, do the next bar. I listen to the lyric. I'm like, yo, that it sound like the biggest song ever.
Yeah, it's going to be
ever.
Wedding,
ever. Like, singing together like that.
Yeah.
I keep going. That's why we need two more lines, and we just do a line by line. We do that. That's all I need. This gonna go. The judge can do some ad lib. She can do some ad lib. It's out of here.
Yeah.
No. Still, please.
Still no. Eh?
It's missing a really big chorus.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Shem's not a fan.
Oh, it's a monster hit.
Is there a big? A big hook or no?
No.
That is the hook, though.
Oh, that is the hook,
right? You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so everybody hates it now.
No!
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Venice Film Festival is happening right now. 6-minute standing ovation for Ferrari last night.
Yeah.
Ferrari. This is the new Michael Mann movie starring Adam Driver, plays Enzo Ferrari. It's all in the summer of, I think it was like 57 or something like that, when Enzo Ferrari was facing bankruptcy, divorce. I think his kid just died and he was about to lose everything, and he bet it all on this 1,000-mile race across Italy for his car. And so that's like how Ferrari was built, kind of thing. And,
that's a spicy meatball.
That is, yes. So people are loving it. I can't wait to see that.
6 minutes.
I just got some in my eye. Yeah, Adam Driver cried, I think. That was the story.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, because it was just like the way it ends. I guess it has like some sort of beautiful ending.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Justin Bieber is like doing serious relationship damage control. So he is in like husband overdrive mode right now on social media, posting all sorts of pictures with him and Haley.
Okay. Why? What's going on?
Because
I see him dressed like a bum.
This is why.
Oh, is that it?
This is why.
Why so, Haley's like all decked out?
So Haley had a big event for her new skincare line, strawberry glazed lip treatment, right? Mm-hmm. She had this big event. She dressed so perfect. She looked dynamite going to her event. Justin looked like... like he was in grade six and like running late for gym class. Like he had a gray hoodie on with the hood pulled up and the strings pulled tight. So he looked like South Park.
Yeah.
And then he had a ball cap on over top of that and like cut off jogging shorts and yellow Crocs. And that's what he wore. And everybody went in on him. Right? Like everybody went in on him. And now he's like photo dump
of all the stuff.
I mean, oh, look at me and Haley. Oh, look at how beautiful she is. Oh, I love my wife. I love all this. Like doing serious damage control. But then people are accusing them, saying that this was a deliberate thing that he showed up looking like a scrub to Haley's launch. And they call it outrage marketing, which is when you actually do things to piss people off. Mm-hmm. To get attention for your brand, movie, album, whatever it may be.
Oh.
So they're saying.
Now you got more eyes on, because the story becomes.
Look at what he wore to her.
The launch of her
strawberry glazed lip balm.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder what that is. Let me go see.
Thank you.
Order Sephora.
Right? Yes. So now they're being accused of outrage marketing. Oh. Because would we have been talking about this if he wore a suit?
No.
No, we wouldn't.
However, maybe we've never seen him in a suit.
Or no, we have.
Okay,
yeah,
or something.
100%.
Or something, right? Like
have you tried any of the Hailey Bieber stuff?
No, I actually have not.
Because I know she's been like on a heavy campaign the past
year. Royal Beauty.
Yeah. The past year and a half now.
Yeah. Mm. I've heard it's great.
Have you tried any of the other ones, like Kylie Cosmetics? Or?
Yeah. I've tried like Kylie's lip stuff. They're good.
What about Fenty, Rihanna?
Yes, I use. I'm wearing it right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
How about Damn It by Maury?
We'll never try that.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The guy who got flung out of Polar Express at the CNE, apparently, according to witnesses, he undid his seatbelt on the ride and tried to stand up, and that's why he was ejected. Apparently.
No.
So some bystanders who were at the CNE on Monday night say that it appeared that the young man tried to actually stand on the ride while it was whipping around.
Didn't he get thrown out earlier this week that
it was shenanigans as opposed to something faulty?
Because I've seen people on the Polar Express.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? And they strap you in pretty good.
Yeah.
There's no seatbelt though.
No, it's like a...
just the bar.
It's just the bar. Yeah.
Yeah. So after technical standards authority looked over the ride and I guess talked to the police and eyewitnesses, Polar Express is set to open again today, I think.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Are you interested in hearing from the woman who broke the world record, the Guinness Book of World Record, Mocha, for the longest mullet in the world?
Absolutely.
Her mullet measures, what do you think would be a good length? Like if you think mullet, right? Mm-hmm. Like what do you think would be a world record mullet?
Like 2 feet?
2 feet. That's long. That's like, that would be like, I guess to her butt, right?
Yeah.
Like
24 inches.
Yeah. 24 inches. Yeah. Shem, what do you think is a good size for a world record mullet?
I'm going to go 4 feet.
4 feet.
Yeah.
4 feet?
Maria, I don't know. I don't know if you're a mullet expert or not.
All I know is I just have, I want my mullet back.
Okay.
In my head. But it's
okay. What do you think? But what do you think?
I think 6 feet.
6 feet.
Not 6 feet. Six.
Well, Maria, you are the closest.
Really?
Coming
really?
In at 5 feet 8 inches.
What?
5 feet Stop. 8 inches. Whoa. And surprise, 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 surprise.
I have a tape measure here.
Yes.
What is it?
5'8".
That's. Almost, I'm 5'7". That's as tall as I am.
Even see
yes. The size of Mondo.
Yes, right yes, yes.
Come on.
And surprise, surprise, her name is Tammy.
Drawing the longest mullet never really started out as anything other than it was the 80s and everybody had a rat tail and I started growing mine and over the years it's just kept growing, so I've kept it. But I'm actually in the 2024 edition of the Guinness World Records for the world's longest mullet. And that is pretty amazing.
She sounds exactly how I thought she would.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And she goes full mullet, right? Like the top and the sides are very short, right? Like there's no mistaking that she has a mullet. And you know what the crazy thing is? Is like in the picture when she's posing with like her Guinness World Record, she wears it to the front.
Oh, yo, right. You gotta flex. No,
but
of course.
You can't do that with a mullet, though. That changes it.
Well, no, you have, but you gotta show it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no, she wears it to the front and looped it over her arm. Hey. Like it was a cape.
Do your thing, queen.
Right?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Man, Denzel still got it, huh?
Facts.
Ooh,
Jesus. Saw that movie, by the way.
You did you? Huh?
On Saturday.
Equalizer 3.
So it on track to do $42 million over the holiday long weekend. And keep in mind, that is without any promo because of the actor's strike.
Sure.
Denzel on the third installment of a franchise, making $42 million. It's the second best holiday opening weekend ever. Shang-Chi was the number one. Holiday weekend opening ever. But Equalizer 3, Denzel still got it. That's a movie star, right?
So good.
That's a movie star.
100%.
You like it? You like the show?
I really loved it. I loved all three of them. I'm going to say this. I really think that his character in that franchise is one of the best sort of action guys. Like, you know what I mean? Like the Jason Statham world and all that stuff. Yeah. To me, he's like Jason Bourne level good.
Really?
Really good.
I haven't seen that yet. Yeah.
I rewatched the first one.
How was it? How was the first one?
Oh, it was just as good.
Yeah?
The second time.
I don't think I've seen any of the Equalizer movies, to be honest with you.
Missing out, bro.
I got to get on that. Yeah, I got to get on that.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
A Delta flight from Atlanta to Barcelona was forced to turn around and make an emergency landing after a passenger diarrheaed all up and down the aisle.
What? What do you mean, up and down the aisle?
I guess they had an emergency in their seat, and they were trying to make it to the bathroom and didn't, and they just
so gross.
And they diarrheaed on their way. So here is the pilot talking to air traffic control about having to turn around.
Negative. It's just a biohazard issue. We've had a passenger who had diarrhea all the way through the airplane, so they want us to come back to Atlanta.
Oh, no. Biohazard?
Yeah, they had to declare a biohazard. The identity of the passenger, thank God, remains a mystery. That poor person. But the passengers and crew were transferred to another flight. They did make it to Barcelona at 5:10 p.m. the next day, 8 hours later than scheduled.
No.
It is not known if the passenger who did diarrhea on the plane was on that plane. Hell no, I wouldn't be getting on that plane.
I wouldn't get on a plane ever again.
Okay, but you know, though, let's say that you were like traveling with your mom, though. Right?
Uh-huh.
And you diarrheaed on the plane. They had to turn the plane around. And they were like, okay, we've rebooked you on this flight. Everybody from that flight's going to be on this flight. And you were like, Ma, you can't do that. You know your mom would make you fly on that plane.
I guess.
You know. So let's just hope.
But I would say, like, don't tell anyone that it was
they
me.
They would know it was you. You were on the plane.
What do I do?
Crews went in and they were able to clean the flight. And they know that because that flight was then used later that day on another flight.
Maria looks like she's going to throw up right now. You okay?
I'm fine, but I would not be getting on a plane. I think I would, no. I would take a train.
Yeah, it would be over. Vacation's over, yeah. Right? I'm not going to Barcelona. They say our teams worked as quickly and safely as possible to thoroughly clean the airplane and get our customers to their final destination. We sincerely apologize to our customers for the delay and inconvenience to their travel plans.
Negative. It's just a biohazard issue. We've had a passenger had diarrhea all the way through the airplane, so they want us to come back to Atlanta.
All the way through the airplane.
All the way through.
Throw out the plane. Throw it out.
All the way through.
Yeah, I'm with you, Maria. Like, decommission that plane. Just, take it apart.
My God.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The Beyonce birthday show in Los Angeles. What a star-studded event this was. So Kylie Jenner and Timothy Chalamet went public with their love.
Oh.
That was real good. Adele was there. Zendaya was there. Tom Holland, Kate Hudson, Justin and Hailey Bieber, Lizzo, Katy Perry, Kate Hudson, Normani, Brandy, Kim and Khloe Kardashian. Everybody was there.
No one told Timothy Chalamet to put out a cigarette.
I know. Well, when you're famous like that, those guys just smoke inside. It's just what happens. Or I guess it was outside. It's a stadium. It's a stadium show,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But he's trying to be like incognito. Uh-huh. So he's wearing like a black jacket and like a black baseball cap pulled way down. And like Kylie is looking the most Kylie.
Yeah.
Right?
There's no hiding.
Like, there's no hiding. Like if she was also going to do the black baseball.
Looking like a stalker?
Yeah. And they were standing up on a podium. But here's the problem with the Beyonce birthday show. Never have a professional singer start off a crowd singing happy birthday.
Because, what do you mean?
Because Diana Ross came out to start the happy birthday. And whenever you ask somebody who is a singer, whether they're a professional or they just fancy themselves a singer, they started off at a register that is too high for the room to sing, and it becomes a disaster. Listen to this. Am I right?
Damn.
Bruh,
am I right?
That note missed.
Come on.
No. The legendary Diana Ross.
Oh, yeah, that ain't it.
Yes. Gotta start that lower.
No,
man.
No. Here, hold on a second here. Shem, just sing quickly the first line. Where would you start if I was like, Shem, get us all going here?
Happy birthday to you.
Okay, damn it, Maureen. In your normal, where you would feel most comfortable.
Happy birthday to you.
Okay, Maria?
Happy birthday
to you. You forgot the words out.
That's normal, right?
And we'll sing it in Greek, my bad.
Yeah. Okay, that is normal.
Can we hear it in Greek?
Yeah, no. How's it going in Greek?
It's not even like to be honest, I'm forgetting.
Is it a different tune?
It's a different tune. It's not even like a song. It's like, I can't remember how it starts off, but it's like, no, I can't know.
Is there a Hebrew one, Maury?
I can't remember.
No, but I know it in French.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Bonne fête à toi.
Okay, keep going.
Bonne fête à toi. Bonne fête à toi. Bonne fête à toi.
Beautiful. Do you know the black happy birthday?
Yeah, do you know the black one, Maury?
Do I?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Big changes at Breakfast Television. Everybody's very excited. Ever since Dina left, God, it was like over a year.
February.
Like, yeah, February, right? Yeah. Almost a year ago, they'd been on the big search to find...
And I kept saying no.
...the new co-host on Breakfast Television. And Sid made the big announcement this morning. Here we go.
After every conversation, after every audition, after every meeting, we kept coming back to the same person. Stupidly talented, amazing personality, experienced. She's going to fit in here, and you're going to love her at home. Ladies and gentlemen, we found her. We found her. Months and months and months of searching was needed for this, but I am elated to announce to you the new co-host of Breakfast Television is... Are we ready?
Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, Meredith Shaw.
Woo! Woo!
Congratulations.
Thank you, Sid. Thank you.
Please, Meredith Shaw, everybody.
Hello, everyone. Hi.
What?
Welcome. Look at this beautiful man.
Wait, tell me when the beautiful man gets here. Please, Meredith.
Wow. I have grown up watching this show. So I feel like a bit like I've walked through my television and I'm in Narnia or something. Like, is this real? Like, pinch me. It's a dream come true, and I don't say that lightly.
There you go.
Big up. Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations. You know Meredith from the Marilyn Dennis Show, The Social, Your Morning E-Talk, and all her stuff over at Chum. Really, really great. Happy to have her. Welcome, Meredith Shaw.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Big deaths over the weekend, man. Like, you know that old stupid thing where they say people always die in threes? Like,
it always happens.
People always die in threes. Well, it doesn't always happen. But it really did. It really did happen this weekend. So start with Steve Harwell, the singer of Smash Mouth. He was only 56 years old.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed.
According to reports, he was in hospice care due to liver failure.
Oh, man.
He had struggled with alcohol abuse over the years. He also had heart problems. He was diagnosed with cardiomyopathy in 2013. Smash Mouth singer. Also, do you know who Jimmy Buffett is, Mocha?
Restaurant owner.
Guy who, you know, Margaritaville, the restaurants.
All over Florida.
Yeah, but it was a song first, right?
Oh,
Didn't know that. Yeah, and then he capitalized on it and got right with the right people, and they made him a billionaire by Margaritaville. So here's a little bit of Margaritaville. Do they play this in Margaritaville?
Like every minute.
When you go in?
Every minute.
Every minute. I would say so.
Oh, I would hate working there.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Like, if you're a lifer at Margaritaville,
that's
a nice song. It's the first time I'm hearing it.
Jimmy Buffett was 76 years old, and at 80 years old, the singer by the name of Gary Wright passed away. His big hit was Dreamweaver, which you may know from Wayne's World.
Yes.
Right?
I do.
It's the Garth falling in love song, right?
Yes.
Yes. Do you know what Wayne's World is, Maria?
No,
I didn't think so.
Wait, is it a movie? I think I've seen it in the Uber Eats commercials, right?
yeah, Wayne's so, right? Yeah, you're right.
You're right.
You're right. Wayne's World is made famous. They're the famous guys from Uber Eats.
Ah,
yes.
Okay, great.
Okay, cool.
That's good to know.
How old are you, Maria?
27.
There we go. You always forget, right?
Yeah.
You always forget.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Joe Jonas reportedly hiring a divorce lawyer to deal with his breakup with Sophie Turner. I didn't even know they broke up.
Didn't they just get married?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had two kids too.
But he did wear his wedding ring on tour.
Yeah, and then she also showed up to the Taylor Swift concert with a Mr. Perfectly Fine friendship bracelet on, which of course we all know was written about Joe Jonas. The skewering.
That's terrible.
So they got married in 2019. They had that first, the little Vegas ceremony, and then they had the big elegant one in Paris, I think it was. But according to TMZ, they have had serious problems for the past 6 months.
Wow.
And, so they're not doing too well.
6 months?
Yeah.
And then they just gave up on the whole thing?
Well, I mean, it depends. Like, serious problems is what they say. Not problems, but serious problems. I don't know what that would be, serious problems.
Don't look at me.
Infidelity, maybe?
You would have to think that that's a serious problem, right? Like, I don't know what other serious problems. What would you say is a serious problem in a relationship, Maury? Listen, everything's going to be so nothing. Ah, it's no big deal. What would you say, Maury, is a serious problem in a relationship?
Like texting other women.
That's a serious problem?
I would think so.
Okay.
What else?
I would say, oh my God, like leaving the front door unlocked.
That's it. You think they broke up because he didn't lock the front door?
Like maybe twice. Like I've told you this before.
Okay.
What else is a serious problem?
Oh my God. Like, not
do you know, do you know how hard Maury right now is avoiding just saying one of the things that he's actually guilty of?
I know,
like, he's fighting so hard right now. Unlocking the door?
Give us one.
Not taking out the trash and then maggots
grow. No, you know what we mean. Give us one. Come on. We're not going to tell anyone.
Okay, but
I'm just saying from, like, you know, not experience.
Did you have maggots in your kitchen?
Like 10 of them, but I only said there was one.
Lies. Everything's a lie. Everything is a lie.
You got to lie about the maggots.
You said we had one maggot?
Yeah, like one little guy, cute little maggot.
This is true. At the Jays game, he told me there was only one, uh-huh. and now there's 10.
But how many actually were there, Maury?
Like 15.
Yeah. 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 Lies to everybody. But it's the door that'll break you up.
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Well, it looks like people are finally making their way out of Burning Man. Black Rock, Nevada.
Happened.
So they rained. Mm. And because of the sort of what the ground material is made out of, because it's not like sand, right? It's like this powdery dust. The whole place just turned into a giant mud pit. So there's 70,000 people there that were essentially stranded. And you have to, at Burning Man, bring enough stuff with you to survive Burning Man, right? Mm-hmm. That's the sort of allure of it. The only thing they sell at Burning Man is ice. That's the only thing that the organization itself sells.
You got to bring your sleeping.
Everything.
Tent, food.
Everything. All that stuff. RVs. People rent U-Hauls to sleep in the back of U-Hauls. Ooh. Like the whole deal. But the County Sheriff Jerry Allen said exhausted partygoers lashed out at one another following the miserable weekend and flooding and rain and everything else. Burning Man did end last night with the torching of the man. That's where they build a big giant man and they light it on fire and then all the weirdos get high and dance around it. Mm-hmm. Which was the conclusion of the festival. Sheriff Allen said that people were getting angry and tempers fraying. He also condemned people for ignoring the Burning Man protocols and leaving trash and abandoned vehicles behind. Discarded boots stuck in the mud, bags and bags of garbage, defying the carry-in, carry-out policy of Burning Man because you're supposed to take every... You're supposed to leave it the way you found it at Burning Man.
My boots are stuck in the mud.
I know. What are you going to do? Damn it, Maury caught up with a bunch of burners who were down there stuck
in the mud.
Yeah, they call themselves burners.
Okay.
Broadway star Justin Schumann talking to Damn it, Maury.
I guess you weren't able to shower anything. Are you, like, filthy?
Oh, Maury, showering at Burning Man? What do you mean? I've only showered once anyway during my time here, which is antithetical to my regular life, but I am here to experience new things. I am actually surprisingly clean. I don't smell, and we've gotten very good at taking, you know, wipe baths, which is a thing you'll do in the outdoors with some, you know, baby wipes. We're all okay. I'd say that the only thing that's sort of running low is people's patience at this point. I think everyone's just eager to get out and get home, which I totally understand, and I feel myself.
Mm-hmm. So Burning Man's very expensive. I think the second tier tickets are in the 500s. I think that the first rounds are in the 2000s.
Well,
and then you got to register your car, and you got to do all this other stuff. Like, it's a very expensive time down there.
Nah,
but of course, because it is Burning Man, there will be no refund. Here's more with Justin Schumann.
When something like this happens, do you get any sort of refund or anything, or it's you go in, you paid, this is what happens?
Oh, no refund. But I also, to be totally honest, with the kind of person that comes to Burning Man, I don't think that's what anybody would even ask for. I think your earlier question was right. We do know we're signing up for a big challenge here in the outdoors. And I think that the most of the week was amazing, right? And even this sort of situation, although dire for some, will be something that we talk about for months, if not years to come. And this will be a Burning Man to remember, the good, the bad, and the soaked. So a refund wasn't on my mind, but some memories are definitely indelibly planted.
It's rich white people who go in the middle of the desert who have no real life problems, and they pay thousands of dollars to create problems, mm-hmm. right? That's Burning Man, essentially, right?
In case you're wondering.
You
have the platform, Roz. You want to speak to people?
Okay. One of the artists at Burning Man, a guy named David Date. Here's Maury with David, who had a very emotional reaction to Burning Man.
What was the craziest thing about this year's Burning Man storm? What was the craziest part of this storm?
I think the craziest thing was Friday night, the entire city is mudded over and thousands of people went out to Esplanade and all these camps, and people were dancing in mud And I did not anticipate it. I thought people would just hunker down in their RVs and their tents and just wait it out. But thousands of people went out to party. And that was probably the most shocking aspect of the burn.
Shocking. Are you surprised at yourself at how well you, I guess, made it through this storm?
I couldn't have done it without my camp, man. Everyone in camp was so solid. We took care of everyone in the camp, and plus anyone that showed up. We had food, we had water, we had alcohol. So we just did our best to take care of each other.
What a traumatic experience.
There was no Ebola. That was the big rumor over the weekend that there was Ebola. But let's not forget, okay, we know that all the burners there, the 70,000 burners, were stranded, okay? But these people back home, okay, they're not orphans. They have families, they have children, they have coworkers, and they have loved ones. That is where we should put our attention, because it's those people that are forever going to have to listen to the stories of Burning Man for the rest of their lives.
Kids,
those are
around.
The people that I feel bad for.
Let me tell you about Burning Man 2023.
Okay? Not the burners. Uh-huh. It's their families. Let's think about the families for a second. I don't know if you saw the clip, but Diplo and Chris Rock just walked out. They walked through the mud for 5 miles, and then fans saw them in a pickup truck, and they just scooped them up and stuck them in the back and got them out of Black Rock, because Chris Rock was at the Beyonce birthday show. Uh-huh. So we know he made it out fine. But here's Diplo talking about that.
We walked about 3 hours in the mud, and it was me. I think Cindy Crawford walked with us, Kaya Gerber, Austin Butler, Randy Gerber, a couple people that just wanted to get home to their children and just taking over an answer. We were just like, look, we can make it out. There's no one stopping us from walking. And, you know, it was a challenge, but it was honestly one of the highlights of the whole trip, was just getting out there and enjoying the time out there and, you know, seeing the desert and walking through the mud and meeting fans. And some kid recognized me on the road and said, hey, I'll give you a ride for the next 2 miles. And we gladly took it.
Yo, sounds like fun. Maybe I'll go next year.
You would hate it. You would hate it.
I'd survive Burning Man.
You would hate Burning Man.
Can I shower?
It's all
they got showers there?
Yeah. You know, like, it's all like apocalyptic steampunk weirdos that, you know what I mean? Like,
that's
you're not
thing.
Into that. You're not into that.
How many times have I been talking about that stuff?
What, steampunk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are like,
do you know
all
what
right,
that is?
Enough with the steampunk.
Do you know what?
We get it. You're a big fan.
Can somebody please AI steampunk mocha for me and just send me the picture so I can see what that would look like? You know, with like the big goggles and stuff like that, right? Like, can you just please, like, with some intricate, like, watch gear thing that he's doing, can somebody please do steampunk mocha so I know what mocha would look like at Burning Man? I really need to know what that would look like.
Generative fill on Photoshop?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, somebody can do that for me. Put Mocha's picture into one of those things. I don't know what they're called. The computer, right? Yeah. Jeez,
the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So police and the internet are still trying to find Danilo Cavalcante down in Pennsylvania.
Who's that?
This is the guy who escaped prison last week, who was convicted for murder, and he got life without parole. And they're now focusing on a rural area about 30 miles west of Philadelphia. So law enforcement now expanded the perimeter of the search after a security camera on Monday recorded him at a botanical gardens area. So he's gone far. Like, he made it 3 miles in no time. And suddenly he has a backpack, like a strap around bag, a hoodie, running shoes. Like, he's.
Oh, so he had help.
No, I don't know if he had help. I think he's just really good.
Like, where'd he get, like, the stuff from, though?
Well, I don't know. He's also like 5 feet and 120 pounds, right? Like, little. Like, you can crawl through things, right? You should know about this.
Shut up.
Right. What?
Damn. It'll be your own.
But two school districts, one about 9 miles and one about 5 miles down in Pennsylvania, away from the prison. So they closed the entire school districts while police look at this guy, look for this guy. But if you go online, it's like, remember when the Boston bombings happened and everybody, like, on Reddit got really involved where they were like tracing the sightings and everything else of who they thought? That's what it's like for this guy right now. Like, people are trying to figure out where he's going.
It's going to be a Netflix doc in like
it will be.
8 months.
It will be.
Did they say how he escaped? Do they know how?
No, I don't know how he escaped, but...
it's like in the movies?
Yeah, I have
no... Where he dug his way out?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. It wasn't in any of the stuff that I had read. But, you know, again, you know, 5 feet...
Or was it inside job and somebody just let him walk out?
Like, when you're your size, right, you look at the world differently than I do, right? Like, I look at the world as in, like, I walk into a room and if emergency happened... I know I'm stuck. Where somebody like you would walk
also
into
stuck,
a room.
Equally as tall.
Somebody like you who would walk into a room and immediately you're like scoping out where the keyholes are, you know, because you can squish through. You're like a little tiny mouse. You can slide right under. Like them, like you're like, does that guy even have bones? I don't know. It doesn't look like he has bones.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Podcast.
Air Canada has issued one hell of an apology. So a woman on a recent Air Canada flight claims that the airline made three passengers sit on vomit-covered seats. Susan Benson from New Brunswick went on Facebook, and she claimed the incident occurred on August 26th on a flight from Vegas to Montreal. So she wrote on Facebook, "Seated in front of us were two ladies and a gentleman who were struggling to get seated. There was a bit of a foul smell, but we didn't know at first what the problem was." She goes on to say, apparently on the previous flight, someone vomited in the area. Air Canada attempted a quick cleanup before boarding, but clearly wasn't able to do a thorough clean. She says Air Canada employees tried to quickly mask the smell by placing coffee grinds in the seat pouch in front of the passengers and then spraying perfume. She goes She goes on to say, when the clearly upset passengers tried to explain to the flight attendant that the seat and seat belts were still wet and there was still visible vomit residue, the flight attendant was very apologetic but explained that the flight was full. Benson goes on to say eventually the three passengers were given blankets to put on top of the seat as well as wipes and their own vomit bags.
That's nasty. No.
She goes on to say that the Air Canada pilot approached the three passengers and explained that they could A, leave the plane on their own, buy new tickets on a separate flight.
No.
Or be escorted off the plane by security and placed on a no-fly list. And that's what happened.
My hot-headedness, I choose number three and I say, tell them, come at me right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to cause a scene. Put me on City News tonight.
Yeah, and then right through the keyhole. Air Canada said in a statement... they've issued an apology to the customers as they clearly did not receive the standard of care to which they were entitled, adding, we are reviewing this serious matter internally and have followed up with the customers directly as our operating procedures were not followed correctly in this instance. No.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Podcast.
Mary Had a Little Lamb has now joined Winnie the Pooh and Bambi in becoming horror movies.
Oh, God.
So with Winnie the Pooh and Bambi, it's because...
Did you hear about this, Maria?
No.
With Winnie the Pooh, like a couple years ago, or last year, I think it was?
But Bambi?
Yeah, Bambi. But it's because the source material is now in public domain, right? So meaning anybody can do anything they want with the source material and the name and everything else. Mary Had a Little Lamb has actually been in the public domain for a long time. Mm. And just nobody did anything with it because people weren't awful then, I guess. So Mary Had a Little Lamb is a new horror movie where a group of podcasters who are trying to solve a murder on their podcast hit a roadblock. So they decide to go out in the woods and retrace the steps of the people involved in the crime. And then they come upon a house, and the house is owned by this old woman named Mary. And in the house, there is a lamb. However, it's a guy who's like 6'6". Wearing coveralls and like a gutted out lamb head over his head, and he's clearly a murderer. It's basically Texas Chainsaw Massacre, only with a guy in a lamb head. So here's a little bit of Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Hello, my name's Mary. I don't bite.
Carla, something doesn't feel right here. Exactly. Something is off.
And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Okay.
That's not gonna be good.
It looks all right though.
The only thing
right
about that trailer that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Is when you get like little British children singing.
Yeah. Oh, it's the most terrifying.
That right there is horror.
Bro, and also don't you worry. If we're ever in that situation, I got you right in my pocket.
What time?
It's no.
I can't say it.
You can't say it.
I can't say it.
You can't say it.
I can't call you.
No!
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Only about 30% of the TDSB's 583 schools have air conditioning.
Oof. Which 30%?
Yeah, the good ones. I don't know. They know. The kids know, believe me. Heat warming remains in place for Toronto, with temperatures expected to be in the low 30s by the peak today. It'll feel more like 40 with the Humidex. UN officials already confirmed that this summer has been a global record breaker for heat. So there you go.
It's portables never had air conditioning.
No, my God. I had 1 year in a portable. It was the worst.
Oh, hated portables.
Ugh, and the winter was actually worse than the summer.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Apparently, Joe Jonas tried to salvage his marriage to Sophie Turner before filing for divorce yesterday. They say divorce was a last resort for Joe. He never wanted to break up his family, but he had to take what he felt was the best course of action for their daughters. The insider adds that the estranged couple, who got married back in May 2019, had many disagreements. They said it kept just building, and Joe finally reached a point where he felt that he'd exhausted all options to salvage the relationship. One of those disagreements may have been their different lifestyles. A second source added that Sophie likes to party, where Joe likes to stay home. In the filing, Joe said that their marriage was irretrievably broken. Now, an insider, a friend, I guess, quote unquote, of Sophie's revealed that Sophie feels like she's only just waking up to what her life and reality is. She became famous at a young age, then married and had kids at a young age, and never really had the teenage years of sleeping around and just having carefree fun with friends. She feels like her life has stalled after Game of Thrones, and so has her personal life. Since the kids came along, she is feeling trapped, they say. She's the only person in her tight friendship group who is married with two children. So,
okay,
there you go. Apparently that is that.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Since 1958, Billboard has been crowning the official song of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was the first one? You were there.
We'll answer the question, Ron.
Where? I don't know. You think why would you think I know that? Hold on, I'll find it.
You're celebrating with your friends.
I was celebrating. I danced to it.
I knew it, guys.
Not only do I know the song, I still know the choreography.
I remember it like it was yesterday. We were down to the quarry, me and the guys.
At number 10 was, I don't even know if I can say this, a song by Gunna. Starts with F-U-K?
Yeah.
Is that a word, or what is it? Am I supposed to say it all like...
You're supposed to say it all at once, but not on the radio.
No, okay. But you know what I mean, though, right?
I know the song.
Kill Bill by SZA, number 9. Snooze by SZA, number 8. Karma by Taylor Swift featuring Ice Spice at number 7. Cruel Summer by Taylor Swift at number 6. All My Life by Lil Durk and J. Cole at number 5. Flowers by Miley Cyrus. And now we get to the top 3. Mocha, here is song number 3, Song of the Summer.
Another banger, baby, calm down.
Yep.
Calm down.
Agreed.
That is Calm Down. Selena Gomez, and is it Rima?
Rema.
There you go. All right, and number 2 song of the summer. You got a
fast car. Ah, Luke Combs.
Luke Combs. Maybe we make a
deal. Great song.
Now, are you ready for song number 1?
Yes.
So this is according to Billboard?
Billboard, yes. So these are all tallied by songs that are the most popular titles, and it's a cumulative performance thing. So it's weekly streaming, airplay, sales, all that other stuff between Memorial Day and Labor Day, which this year was June 10th through September 9th.
Okay.
That is how historically since 1958 Billboard has been crowning the Song of the Summer.
It's got to be something by Taylor Swift.
Last night we let the liquor talk. I can't remember.
Look at Maria celebrating. You love this song, huh?
I love him.
So that's Last Night by Morgan Wallen.
Yeah.
It's the first time I ever heard this song. It was today.
What?
Yeah.
Something's telling me this ain't over yet. No way it was our last night. I kissed
Yeah, this is like Jenna's favorite, my wife's favorite song.
Really, huh?
Yeah, she loves this track.
He's the best.
Yeah, no, I never heard it till today. It was the first time.
Oh, this song's blasting in our house.
Notably, this is the first time a country song has topped the list since 1974.
Oh.
Also with Luke Combs, Fast Car at number two. This is the first time that two country tracks have grabbed number one and number two on the Song of the Summer list.
Congratulations, Morgan Wallen and Luke Combs.
There you go. It's the first time I heard that song.
Wow.
Yeah. It's good. I don't mind it. It's fine. You know what I mean? You got that voice.
A little twang.
You know, he does that thing.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Well, Priscilla Presley, the wife of the ex-wife, I guess, of former superstar Elvis Presley. They hooked up or got together or whatever. The story is always very, like, everybody has known that when they originally got together, Elvis was 24, she was 14.
Damn.
Right? Hillbilly mentality, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Elvis, right? And it was just assumed that it was a full-on sexual relationship from the time they met because they were inseparable and he'd fly her all over the world. Like, it's not like she was, like, living at home and then seeing Elvis on weekends. Like, she was with Elvis Presley. But there's a Sofia Coppola's new biopic called Priscilla. So now Priscilla is doing all sorts of press, and she's clarifying what everybody thought to be true, which was at the time, she says that it was not a sexual relationship. Here is Priscilla breaking down the dynamic of what she was at 14 to, at that time, one of the biggest stars in the world.
Elvis would pour his heart out to me in every way in Germany, his fears, his hopes, the loss of his mother, which he never, ever got over. And I was the person who really, really sat there to listen and to comfort him. That was really our connection. Even though I was 14, I was actually a little bit older in life, not in numbers. And that was the attraction. And, you know, people think, oh, it was sex, it was this. Not at all. I never had sex with him. He was very kind, very soft, very loving, but he also respected the fact I was only 14 years old. We were more in mind and thought, and that was our relationship.
When did they get married? Did they ever get married?
Yeah, a couple of years later. I think she was like 20, maybe something like that, when they got married.
I guess at some point they had to have had sex.
She says it was after the wedding. Is what she says. But yeah, 14, like, what are you doing, hillbilly?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? Right?
Can't imagine.
Oh.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Question. Who, by a show of hands, or you can say I or whatever, who believes the old saying that opposites attract?
I.
Shem.
Me. I believe it.
Maury. Maria,
mm-hmm.
You, yes?
Some split.
Yes, I agree.
Split.
I'm split.
So, because we've always heard that, right? Opposites attract. Now, some people take that as physically opposite, like when they see a couple who are just physically not the same or what you would think somebody would go for, or whatever it was.
Like tall, short.
Like tall, short, or whatever. Right. But oftentimes it's the lifestyle. It's the how you choose
Jenna
to live.
I, right? She got together with the bad boy. Right?
Who is the bad boy?
You know?
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
By my
you were living in the your parents' basement.
Doing illegal things.
Still at night. Like, you'd wake up in the morning and sometimes your feet would still be tangled in the wagon wheel at the end of the bed.
Bruh. The streets chose me, okay? Guys.
Your mom was doing your laundry.
I didn't. Hey, man, that was one time.
No, it wasn't.
Bad man.
Okay, I told her multiple times, Ma, I'll leave my laundry alone.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know,
yeah,
the drug money and the guns.
Ma, that
and
basket's
stuff.
For the wrestling dolls, not my clothes.
Okay, continue.
Scientists say there is actually little truth to the old adage that opposites attract. So a study on romantic relationships found that for more than 80% of traits analyzed, from political views to drug taking and the age at which people first had sex, partners were often remarkably similar. According to the research, between 82 and 89% of traits examined were similar among partners with with only 3% ranking as substantially different. Couples largely matched across a range of traits, including, yes, their views on politics, their views on religion, their levels of education, their IQ, whether they smoke, whether they drink a lot, whether they don't drink a lot.
Whether they're in the streets.
People tend to partner up with people who have the same habits,
right,
or the same views,
right,
is what they found. So no, opposites don't necessarily attract.
She got me out of that life.
Yeah?
She took me away from the streets. I was like...
Set you straight?
Set me straight.
Yeah?
Just, you know?
What was the hardest part? What was the hardest thing to give up when you realized that you had to change your ways for love, when your heart was telling you to go one way, but also that deep thing down inside you that you carried from the streets
pulling me back.
Yeah, like what was
I was trying to get out and they just tried to pull me back
in. What was it about? What was drawing you back though? Like what was the hardest pull?
Guys.
What was it?
It was just the money.
The money.
It was the money. I couldn't let go of the money.
Yeah, the power.
Right? Oh, so much power in the streets.
Yeah.
Right? The turf wars.
Yes. Now, did you give up?
Running corners.
Did you give up that street power but reclaim the power in your own home? Like you just did a one for one? So you're as powerful in your house as you were on the streets?
Absolutely, I said.
Yeah? That's what you said?
If I'm going to leave the streets behind,
yeah,
I'm running this house the way I want to run it.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's my way.
Yeah.
Because I ran things in the streets and I'm running things in my own home, in my castle.
Right. Right.
From the basement?
And then you got to set out the rules, right? The house rules.
We won't get into that.
Well, I'd like to, though.
Well, I can't because Jenna's calling me right now.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Podcast.
Remember the AI generated, it was one of the sort of first ones that took off. It was the Drake and the Weeknd AI song by that anonymous artist named Ghost Rider.
Yo, fire. I came out with my ex like Selena, the flex, bumping Justin Bieber, but a
favor and left. She know what she need, all her need, all she this missed. Is one of the first.
I kind of wish that Drake and the Weeknd actually got together to claim this song. Because the weekend that it came out, no pun intended, but like the streams on Spotify were outrageous. Yeah.
So the representatives for the anonymous songwriter named Ghost Rider, who's the one that put this together, they've submitted this to the Grammys, even though actual Drake and actual Weeknd are not performing on the song. It is all AI. They submitted it for both Song of the Year and Best Rap Song. And according to the Recording Academy CEO, Harvey Mason Jr., he tells the New York Times that he was impressed with Heart on My Sleeve, which is this track, as it opened up the possibilities for their business and declared it suitable for a nomination. As far as the creative side, it's absolutely eligible, he says, because it was written by a human. So, for the writing categories where you can earn awards for song writing and producing that have nothing to do really with the performer, it was written and produced by a human. So, it may not get a nomination, but it is eligible for a nomination.
I cannot believe this is the world we're living in.
Yeah, this is...
This is like... if
the Grammys going down this road is bad.
It's very bad. Are you kidding me? I think they would face way more backlash from artists and even a bigger revolt from artists if this ends up getting a nomination. I understand the writing and everything, but the fact that this song could get nominated.
Yeah.
When it's not really Drake and it's not really The Weeknd,
but the
even
writing,
though it's a fire song.
But the writing, well, the reason it's fire is because of the writing.
Of course.
So why not recognize that?
And I saw this guy also released another one recently with like Travis Scott and 21 Savage and mentioned them in his post being like, if you guys want this song, like, let me know. And it sounds just like them.
Yeah.
It's fire.
Yep.
I don't know how anyone has it.
I don't know, man.
I don't know if people are like upset that he's doing this, but like this guy could make great music for great artists, like in real life, instead of resorting to
probably
AI.
Probably not. I mean, probably not, though. He's not going to get Drake to sing one of his songs.
Well, not now.
No, but I don't know. Probably never would. He would never have been this famous if he had to work his way up using actual people.
I don't know, man. It's fired up, still.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
TMZ is claiming, oh my God, this is Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner stuff.
What happened now?
Like, it's just crazy. Like, they're going so hard with these, like, leaked stories and the PR machines and everything. It's really weird because up until really this point, like, I didn't even know they had kids.
Yeah,
like,
too.
Nobody knew anything about their relationship other than they had that wedding in Vegas. But other than that, you don't hear a lot about Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner. Like, they're
not unless you follow them on
but
social,
even still,
right?
they don't post pictures of their
no,
kid.
They're not like posting stuff that gets picked up by TMZ every week.
But they don't. They're just like, they're so enclosed with their relationship that we didn't really know anything. And now all of a sudden they're breaking up and the PR machines are like, she's a party girl. He's looking after the kids alone. Oh, boo hoo. All this stuff because she's off shooting a movie or whatever. Now, did you see this TMZ story yesterday where they say multiple sources say that the reason that they broke up isn't her partying. It's that Joe caught Sophie either doing or saying something on their ring cam.
Doing or saying something?
Yes.
Like saying what?
Who knows?
Like, I hate my life?
Something like that.
I hate my husband?
Yes.
I don't think my husband's the most famous Jonas?
Yes. Something like that. Yeah.
That would be so, that would crush me.
They need to bring back, you know what I think? They should bring back Frankie Jonas.
You think so? I thought the other Jonas and Priyanka were going to be the first to break up.
What?
I didn't think that was going to last at all.
I said, every girl is secretly wishing that happens.
Yeah.
Including myself.
Whatever.
I didn't think that was going to last.
You would leave
Louis
if you thought you had a chance with Nick?
I'm not answering that question.
Oh!
You just said every girl, including myself.
No.
Yeah, you stepped in it now.
Oh, hold on here. Who else is on that list?
On that list?
Yeah.
Wow. Answer is none.
I don't know.
Who else is on that list?
I'm trying to think. Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. Okay. Mm-hmm. Who else? Like, even if he was like, you don't even know. Like, he could be a total D-bag.
I'm forgetting now, but Ryan Gosling. But
also, I'm first in line for Ryan Gosling.
Sure, you got to fight Maury for Ryan.
Yeah.
What about Channing Tatum?
No. Old no. Channing Tatum, yes.
Younger Channing Tatum,
yes.
You mean. Okay. Yes. What about Zac Efron?
Old Zac Efron.
Have you seen young Zac Efron?
No. Okay, Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, all yours.
Wait a second. Like Iron Man Robert Downey Jr. Yes. or now Robert Downey Jr.?
Iron Man.
Because he's not doing steroids or anything like that anymore. No, and Iron he's Man. Like, he's all gray and he doesn't look like Iron Man anymore.
And but Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe. Like young Rob Lowe? Young, like St. Elmo's
I mean,
Fire
both,
Rob Lowe?
Both are attractive.
Really, huh?
Like, and how about Lenny Kravitz?
No.
What about, Michael B. Jordan?
Yes.
Yo, she's quick to answer
that. I know.
Everyone else, she was like, let me think.
Okay, hold on here. How far can we take this? What about Denzel?
No.
Okay. Too old?
Too old.
I needed to know how far we could take this.
Well, because, there's like Rob Lowe in there. So. Yeah.
What about Drake? What about Drake?
No.
The Weeknd?
No.
Okay, who else? Who else here? Timothy Chalamet.
No. My sister loves him, though. But yeah. Not for me.
For you? Mm-mm. Too much of a boy?
Yeah, looks like a child.
Which sister? Yeah, the one that got married or the one with the boyfriend?
The one with the boyfriend.
Would she break up with her boyfriend for him?
Oh, I immediately.
What?
Immediately. I texted her when they announced Kylie and him, and she was like, I know.
Hold on here. Maury, what's the best website to find the hottest guys in Hollywood?
He's got on a saved browser.
Yeah. This is a fun game. Okay, so hold on here. Okay, so I'm going to start throwing out names, right? Maria, you let us know, yes or no, if you would leave your boyfriend for them. Maury, you say yes or no whether you would leave your husband for them.
You know Maury can say yes to everybody.
Brad Pitt, Maria.
Yes.
Maury.
No.
Okay. George Clooney.
No.
Maury.
No.
Michael B. Jordan, we already did.
Mm-hmm.
David Beckham.
Yes.
No.
Oh, damn. Chris Hemsworth.
No.
If there was no one else.
Wow.
Like your husband.
Wow. Wow. What about your husband? Exactly. Bradley Cooper.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely not.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
Channing Tatum. We already did that.
Young.
Okay. Jared Leto.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow. Ryan Reynolds.
Yes. Met him. Very nice guy.
Maury.
Nah, sure.
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, no.
I know.
No.
I know more. Like, if I had to.
If there's a gun to my head.
Standards.
God, if I had an afternoon.
Okay, one more.
If my
one
dentist
more.
Canceled on me. Okay.
And Hot George from the gym wasn't available.
Right. Jason Momoa.
No.
Really?
Yeah, no, I don't
no,
see it.
Me too, no.
Really?
Wow. No, too fake.
Interesting. More for Shem.
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Al Pacino may or may not be here, depending. Probably not, but he's got a movie.
Diapers have changed.
Well, no. I mean, as if we didn't see this coming. So Pacino and his 29-year-old girlfriend, Noor, have split.
No!
Oh, shocking. Well,
they
real.
No!
She filed for custody.
The baby is only like, what, three months old.
3 months.
Yeah, oh,
so
Pacino.
She filed legal documents in Los Angeles asking for full custody, adding that she wants Al Pacino to have reasonable visitation, quote unquote. She goes on to say that she's requesting in court docs that Pacino pay for her lawyer fees and other case-related costs as well as child support. No word on what that number is.
A lot.
Damn.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, Shem, you see the new Rolling Stones video?
I have not seen the new.
So Sydney Sweeney's in the new Rolling Stones.
I'm going to go check for the new Rolling Stones video.
He wouldn't even let you finish this.
Okay, so I'll go through the story. So the Rolling Stones, they're getting set to release a record in October, and it's like their first one in, I think, like 20 years or something like that, almost 20 years. But Lady Gaga's on one of the songs.
Oh, sick.
And that should be real good. People are looking forward to that. The album's called Hackney Diamonds. I want to play you a bit of their new song, and then just remind everyone, okay? So the three main guys in the Rolling Stones are...
Oh, I know this.
Okay, yes.
Mick Jagger?
Yes.
Steven Tyler?
No, that's Aerosmith.
Oh. Okay, so Mick Jagger.
Yes.
Oh, Keith Richards.
Yes, yes. And the third is Ron Wood. You would never guess Ron Wood. But before
Funny
I play
enough,
this...
I was going to.
Before I play this, I want to remind everyone, okay? Yeah. But the only reason I want to play this, okay, is to remind everyone that Mick Jagger is 80.
Okay.
Keith Richards is 80. Ron Wood is 76. Okay?
They should be dead.
80 and 76. So here's a little bit of their new song. You tell me if it slaps, Shem.
You know what?
Don't get angry with me.
Okay. Wow.
I never caused you no pain. I won't be angry with you. But I can't see straight.
Yeah. Right? 80 years old.
Is it weird in my head? I'm like, I could hear a rap verse added to this.
I could too. Yes, absolutely.
Totally.
Have you watched the video yet? Have you watched the video yet?
Right, we're on the radio. I'll do that shortly.
No, do that now.
Well, then hold on.
What is the matter with you?
Hey, man, listen.
No.
So they're 80 years old, these guys?
80, and 76.
I mean, right? I'm sure the recording session for that song took a very long time.
But they still tour.
But that song sounds great.
Yeah. 80 years old.
Yo, the pick.
Okay, hold on here.
The thumbnail?
Yeah, just
amazing.
Okay. Okay, just wait.
Go ahead,
Shem. We're going to get Shem's reaction. Yeah.
Oh, I'm already a fan.
Yo, okay. 5 seconds okay. in.
Hold on. You just wait.
Wait.
This is the video. Sydney Sweeney's in the new Rolling Stones video.
What a lucky car.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So they still have not caught Danilo Cavalcante, who is the 34-year-old Brazilian national who escaped from that prison in Pennsylvania. You had asked when we were talking about it the other day, how did he escape? Mm-hmm. And they released video of exactly how he escaped from the yard.
Okay.
Which was, there's one area where two walls sort of go down into a corridor outside, and then there's a door at the sort of end of that corridor. And that wall is 5 feet apart, that corridor.
Okay.
It's 5 feet wide. And he looked around and saw that nobody was standing there, and he leaned forward and put his hands on the wall in front of him, and then put his feet on the wall behind him and crab walked up the two walls.
Like Ninja Warrior.
Yeah. To the top of the building.
And they didn't have like the wrapped up barbed wire?
They did. He just grabbed the razor wire and jumped over
it. Oh my God.
Right?
What?
Yeah. So there was 160 cameras in the yard that day.
Okay? 160?
Yeah. So, but the problem is that there was a basketball game happening. So when there's a basketball game happening, all guards' eyes are on the basketball game to make sure nothing goes down.
Oh, the prisoners are playing games.
The prisoners are playing. Okay. The prisoners are playing. Right. So when something is going on like that, it has the guard's full attention. So he slipped out, and the guard who was monitoring the cameras just completely missed it.
It's not wise to release the video, though. You're going to help out others.
Well, I mean, it's a problem they got to fix.
No. So I have some guards getting fired today.
Yeah.
If not already fired.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's how he did it. That's hard work, man.
Yeah.
And he's only like 5 feet tall. So he was full. He's like stretched out, like when you watch the video.
And that's a lot of core strength.
That's a lot.
To do that.
And he goes fast too.
Really?
Super fast.
So he was practicing.
But how do you practice that? Where do you practice that when you're in the joint? Like, how would you? You just got to have faith in yourself. You just got to work out, right?
I guess. Just train.
Believe in yourself, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, think positively, I guess.
Sure.
Right? I don't know, but they still haven't got the guy. But it's an incredible video to watch him go up the wall. It's wild.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Kourtney Kardashian opened up yesterday about her recent medical emergency. If you remember, Travis Barker left the Blink-182 tour suddenly because there was a family emergency. She didn't specifically say what was wrong because we know Kourtney is pregnant, but it sounds like everything is now okay because she said, walking out of the hospital with my baby boy in my tummy and safe was the truest blessing. As someone who has had three really easy pregnancies in the past, I wasn't prepared for the fear of rushing into urgent fetal surgery. So they did some sort of surgery on her. Everything she says is fine, and both her and the baby are doing well, I guess. Okay. Travis tweeted, God is great. I flew home for the life-threatening emergency surgery for our baby that I'm so grateful went well. I want to say thank you for all the support. Tour resumes Friday.
Okay. Back to work.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Remember the Delta flight where the guy diarrheaed down the aisle that they had to turn around and go back to Atlanta because of a biohazard?
Here's negative. It's just a biohazard issue. We've had a passenger who had diarrhea all the way through the airplane, so they want us to come back to Atlanta.
So more details have come out.
I don't need any more details.
Did you watch the video?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, there's video.
I know. Maury tried to send through a video to me, and I'm like, I'm not watching it.
No. So after the plane was forced to turn around and they did get the passengers off, it took a cleanup crew 5 hours to fully clean it up to the point of where they tore up the carpet.
Well,
that was down there and actually replaced the carpet. But the one thing that I didn't know, the one detail that wasn't in the full story.
Do I want to know this detail?
Which was after it happened, after the guy diarrheaed all the way down the aisle. And they had 2 hours, or they still had they would have had 2 hours to get back to Atlanta. The flight attendants they covered it up with like blankets and towels and stuff, right? But then they sprayed vanilla spray all over it.
I don't think those two smells work.
No, everybody said it made it worse.
Oh, vanilla poo?
Everybody on there.
No, decommission that plane.
Thank you.
Do more than change the carpet.
Bro, it took off that day.
No.
As soon as it was clean, 5 hours later, that plane was back in the air.
No, change the flooring.
Full of people.
Change
the flooring?
Yes.
Just throw the plane out. Just in the garbage. Out.
Shred the plane.
Goodbye.
Yeah, recycle that plane to make a new plane.
How much is a 757? Hold on.
Isn't it like a million?
Okay, so more,
I seriously think a million.
You think $1 million.
For a plane?
Yeah, they're expensive. Have you ever tried to buy one?
No.
No.
Have you?
No. But I've heard.
Okay, hold on here.
From who?
Okay, so Maury, you say $1 million.
Yeah.
For a let's say a 747.
Yeah, like
right?
$1 million or $1.2. Yeah.
$1.2 million.
Is that your max?
$1.2 is my max.
Okay.
So that's all you're paying.
Yeah, I will not go above.
Okay, cool. Okay, so what if I said I needed the price to be a little bit higher?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, you go to the bank, you get a loan.
Yeah.
What's the bank, absolute most you're going to pay for
the bank? Will give me 1.4.
Okay. Higher.
Really?
Yeah.
2 million.
Higher.
3 million.
Higher.
4 million.
Higher.
Come on. 5 million.
Higher.
10 million.
Higher.
25 million.
Way higher.
$50 million.
Way higher.
$75 million.
Way, way higher.
$102 million.
Way higher.
$102.5 million.
$418 million.
Yeah, you just clean it up with vanilla.
Right?
Send that joy straight back to ATL.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
On Kiss 92.5.
Kiss925.com.
Or download the Kiss 92.5 app.